liftoff. SpaceX is on its way to the International Space Station. The FAA proposes wholesale changes in the avionics industry. And Cessna is expanding its single-engine aircraft safety initiative. This is Aero News for Wednesday, May 23, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. After a last-second shutdown aborted the launch this past weekend, SpaceX's Falcon 9 rocket, topped by its Dragon spacecraft, cleared the tower at 0344 Eastern Daylight Time Tuesday morning and is now en route to the International Space Station. The launch, the second demonstration mission for NASA's Commercial Orbital Transportation Services, or COTS, program, marks the beginning of a new era in exploration as a private company has launched a spacecraft to the International Space Station for the first time. The Dragon capsule will conduct a series of checkout procedures to test and prove its systems, including the capability to rendezvous and berth with the ISS. On Thursday, May 24th, Dragon will perform a flyby of the space station at a distance of approximately 1.5 miles to validate the operation of sensors and flight systems necessary for a safe rendezvous and approach. Following an analysis of the flyby by NASA and SpaceX managers, the Dragon capsule will be cleared to rendezvous and berth with the space station on Friday, May 25th, marking the first time a commercial company has attempted this feat. SpaceX and Orbital Sciences, which will perform its own flight test later this year, have been working under the NASA COTS program, which provides investments to stimulate the commercial space industry in America. Once the companies have successfully completed their flight test, they will begin delivering regular cargo shipments to the space station. This marks the third consecutive successful Falcon 9 launch and the fifth straight launch success for SpaceX. The FAA is proposing a major rewrite of FAR Part 145, and a major trade organization says those changes would have damaging and costly consequences. The agency proposes to remove radio and instrument ratings and letting airframe-rated repair stations work on radios and instruments without qualifications or ratings. The proposal also eliminates many of the opportunities for mobile maintenance operations that are currently in use. The AEA says the changes would allow airframe-rated repair stations to repair and alter radios and instruments without any specific ratings or obvious qualifications. They are strongly opposed to the measure and say they will respond to members' concerns within 2 weeks. Comments on the NPRM are due no later than August the 20th. With thousands of older model single-engine airplanes still in service, Cessna embarked on a program last year to educate pilots about safety issues with those aircraft. The company has announced this week that they are expanding that program, designed to educate single-engine owner-operators on the new inspection procedures to be added to 100 series Cessna service manuals covering Cessna single-engine piston aircraft produced between 1946 and 1986. The plane maker has established 40-hour training classes in Wichita for mechanics to be trained on the non-destructive inspection techniques then to be used to inspect those high-time Cessna single-engine airplanes. The intent is to not only teach them what they are looking for, but also how to identify issues that can occur more frequently with older, high-time airframes. The criteria for initial visual inspections will vary by model and aircraft age or hours of operation, and will focus primarily on signs of corrosion or structural fatigue damage. You can find out more at Cessna.com, or a short video explaining the inspection process is available on Cessna's YouTube channel. Well, consumers may find some righteous indignation in a report from the Department of Transportation revealing that U.S. airlines earned less in baggage fees last year despite an increase in passenger traffic. The 17 largest U.S. airlines earned $3.36 billion in baggage fees in 2011, but that's down slightly from the $3.4 billion the previous year. This was the first annual decrease since the extra fees became standard with most carriers back in 2008. The same year, U.S. airlines saw a 1.3% increase in passengers from the year before, totaling now 730 million. So just how important are those baggage fees? Consider the case of Delta Airlines. Without the $864 million that Delta earned in baggage fees last year, the airline's net operating income of $854 million would instead have been a $10 million loss. While investigations are ongoing and safety panels, including the NTSB, continue to develop recommendations for the future, the Reno air races will still go on this fall. Last week, the Reno Tahoe Airport Authority's Board of Trustees voted unanimously to renew the necessary special use permit for at least another year, as long as organizers follow all federal safety rules and secure $100 million in insurance. The organizers said they expect to secure that insurance this week. The Reno Air Racing Association's event at Reno Stead Airport is the only event of its kind, where planes fly wingtip to wingtip around an oval aerial pylon track, sometimes just 50 feet off the ground and at speeds that can top 500 miles per hour. The future of the event has been in question since the accident last fall, in which Jimmy Leeward's modified World War II-era P-51 Mustang went down into the box seats in front of the grandstand, killing Leeward and 10 spectators and injuring more than 70 others. When Aero News continues, good news, TSA needs more money. Made in the USA, well, not exactly. And space, the final frontier. And this summer, a great tourist destination.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Aero News continues now for Wednesday, May 23rd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Well, TSA's popularity with the flying public will no doubt rise another notch or two when word gets out of a Department of Homeland Security bill that passed the Senate Appropriations Committee yesterday. The bill includes language that will double the passenger security fee tacked on to airfares from $2.50 to $5. The move is needed, they say, to make up a $350 million budget shortfall. Senator Mary Landrieu, Democrat from Louisiana, said if the fees were not increased, that $350 million shortfall would have to be provided by taxpayers, so it was better to ask airline passengers to make up that difference. A Senate Armed Services Committee report released yesterday shows an investigation has discovered counterfeit electronic parts from China in the Air Force's latest cargo plane, in assemblies intended for special operations helicopters, and in a Navy surveillance plane, among 1,800 other cases of bogus parts. The report is the result of a year-long investigation launched by Senator Carl Levin, Democrat of Michigan, the committee's chairman, and ranking member Senator John McCain, Republican of Arizona. The investigation's findings point to China as the dominant source of counterfeit electronic parts and concludes that the Department of Defense and its contractors must attack this problem more aggressively, particularly since counterfeiters are becoming better at shielding their dangerous fakes from detection. As part of the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Transportation Week, and to kick off the summer travel season, the FAA has launched an education effort to help parents and caregivers make informed choices about their child's safety when they fly. In general, the FAA is reminding parents and caregivers that children are far safer in their own seat than in a parent's lap, and that child safety seats should be used when appropriate. Before flying, parents and caregivers should check to make sure that their child restraint system is approved for use on an aircraft, and when purchasing airline tickets, parents and caregivers should contact the air carrier to see if there are any discounts available for children, since buying a ticket for a child is the only way to guarantee that a child safety seat can be used during flight. The FAA has developed a new website and online information toolkit with information about how to keep children safe when traveling by air. The site includes a downloadable tip sheet for parents and caregivers and a video demonstration on how to properly install a child safety seat on an airplane. The website also includes helpful details about FAA-approved child harness devices and links to frequently asked questions. The Kennedy Space Center is marking its 50th anniversary this year. And while the shuttles are no longer flying, NASA is offering visitors rare access to several key areas and authentic attractions, plus opportunities for up-close viewing of ongoing rocket launches. A special Cape Kennedy Center up-close tour has been extended through the end of this year to provide visitors a look inside the 525-foot-tall vehicle assembly building where the Apollo rockets and space shuttles were assembled. One of the largest buildings in the world, the VAB has been off-limits to visitors for more than 30 years until the tour was added this past November. The space agency is also working with Delaware North Companies, which operates Kennedy Space Center Visitor Complex, on final details of new tours featuring operational areas that visitors have also rarely had the opportunity to see. Announcements regarding those new tours are expected in the coming weeks. For those interested in viewing space exploration firsthand, more than 10 launches have been scheduled for 2012 to carry NASA science missions and government satellites, as well as to test commercial space programs. The latest of those, of course, was the launch of the SpaceX Falcon 9 and Dragon spaceship to the International Space Station that took place just yesterday morning. It's not often that you find the lead story is also your kicker in this business, so let's all keep an eye to the sky as the next generation of spaceflight, the commercial generation, begins to unfold in the stars above over the next 48 hours or so as we await word that Dragon is go for docking at the International Space Station. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.